the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, July the 15th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. AOC and Trump battle on Twitter over being native-born. Also on our Monday rundown, Democratic hopefuls share views in five Iowa cities, plus efforts to control stormwater pollution. Now our top story, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sharply criticized President Trump on Sunday for implying that she and other freshman House Democrats were not natural-born American citizens. CNN reporting in a series of tweets, Ocasio-Cortez took aim at Trump's tirade on Twitter, labeling her and other freshman House Democrats not born in America. Trump suggested they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. Representative AOC responded by tweet to Trump, "You are angry because you can't conceive of an America that includes us. You rely on a frightened America for your plunder." CNN adds that Ocasio-Cortez tweeted that the country she comes from is the United States. Iowans in five cities have an opportunity this week to hear 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls make their case on issues facing older voters.
Julie Betts with AARP Iowa says 19 Democratic presidential candidates will participate in the forums. She adds that each candidate will have 25 minutes on stage to answer questions from both moderators and the audience. Betts says the forums are the first chance to hear from the candidates collectively ahead of the Iowa presidential nominating contest on February 3rd. In 2020.
We know in Iowa that we have a unique position, and we understand we are making some decisions and choices for the rest of the country.
Locations for the weekday forums include Cedar Rapids, Council Bluffs, Davenport, Des Moines, and Sioux City. I'm Roz Brown.
In the 2016 general election, 69% of baby boomers and 70% of the silent generation say they voted, compared with just 51% of millennials. The latest Census of Agriculture confirms a continued trend of an aging farming population. However, next-generation farmers are stepping up to fill their shoes.
The Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association analyzed data from the five-year USDA survey and found the state ranked sixth nationally for the number of new and beginning farmers. Policy Director with OFA, Emily Lipstrew, says that's roughly 33,000 people who are answering the call of a challenging occupation.
Certainly this year, farmers are facing multiple challenges with the weather and with trade tensions. So we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to ensure that farmers can make a living so that we have and can keep these young people that are interested in farming.
Ohio also ranks sixth for the number of certified organic farms and second for the number of acres being transitioned to organic production systems. The state also increased its farmland by nearly 4,700 acres and is now home to 77,000 farms, the highest number since 1997. Mary Sherman reporting.
According to that analysis, research links economic health at the county level to organic agriculture. Protesting in Congress has a new face, and you could say people are not masking their feelings any longer.
A swamp monster appeared behind the former energy lobbyist picked to lead the Interior Department. Women in Handmaid's Tale costumes showed up for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's hearing. And then there's the Monopoly Man. Independent campaign consultant Ian Madrigal has a sideline protesting the behavior of powerful companies by appearing at hearings in a top hat, monocle, and mustache. Madrigal says the idea is to get on camera to get his message across.
Having been the person in the suit awkwardly sitting behind someone in Congress before, I realized that I could very easily get into the shot. People don't realize how open these hearings are. They are meant for the public to attend.
An article last fall by the National Review argued that the near-constant removal of protesters from the Kavanaugh hearings suggested Congress should consider no longer allowing the public to attend. Madrigal says the First Amendment protects wearing costumes as long as it's not disruptive. Madrigal says he actually has fewer problems with security when the guards know what he's doing.
I usually actually come in the building with my full costume on and go through security with the full costume on. Gives me a little bit less grief with security usually.
He says, unfortunately, our politics has come to resemble reality TV. Dan Hyman reporting for the Public News Service.
Finally, our Eric Tegetthoff reports, after years of work, cities in Washington are doing more to protect the Puget Sound from its biggest source of pollution, stormwater runoff.
A report from the Puget Sound Keeper Alliance and Washington Environmental Council helped motivate them. In 2017, the groups released their progress rating, called Nature Scorecard, for 83 Puget Sound municipalities to measure how they were meeting 2012 codes to reduce toxic stormwater. It found less than half were making meaningful progress. Alyssa Barton is with Puget Sound Keeper Alliance.
After we published that scorecard, we got some more municipalities reaching back out to us and a little more willing to work with us after actually seeing their scores. And so we continued to reach out and work with them.
In the 2019 scorecard released this month, nearly three-quarters of municipalities are making meaningful progress. The analysis gauges how towns and cities are doing based on five State Department of Ecology measures for stormwater permitting.
While most have improved in Washington State, about 16% of municipalities have not made any progress since 2012. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.